From Montreal, Quebec, this is the Bard Bar.
Step by step, ooh baby, I'm gonna take you in my world.
Oh, yeah. I don't know this.
See, I should have brought this
story. Yeah, I like that.
I'm gonna cut this NKOTBF jam to welcome Bard Brawlers to the Bard Brawl NKOTB jam session. This is Donnie, Jordan, Joey, Jonathan.
Donnie.
Oh, I know what I was screwing up. Because Donnie Wahlberg and then Danny the loser that no one ever heard of ever again.
He had a solo career.
You know what? Danny.
Yeah. By career, I mean.
Yeah.
Danny fans out there, I apologize. Danny Brawlers out there.
With the ponytail, right?
Yeah. Braided. Braided. Braided ponytail.
It's more like a rat tail, actually.
A braided rat tail. That's Jay Reed, who was... You were pulling Danny, I think. You had Danny's register.
Yeah.
We got Amrit Sanger, who was probably... He's the Donnie. He's the, the gangster.
You get the Donnie.
I got demoted.
Eric John was obviously Jonathan.
Yeah.
Who dated Tiffany briefly.
Tiffany,
I pulled the Jordan
Tiffany
Knight.
Tiffany, the singer.
No, Tiffany,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Running just as fast as we can. Okay, I'm going to stop.
No,
now.
Is that Sabrina?
No, that's Tiffany.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
Sabrina is another one.
Stephanie E.M. Coleman, we've gotten too far down that road.
Can we do the step by step properly?
I'm going to pull. No.
Do it later.
Run
at the end. Instead of
the song. Andre Simoneau is sitting there waiting patiently. He is a serious actor that has been waiting to sink his teeth into Twelfth Night, Act 5. Mm. This is the Bard Brawl, going pound for pound with Shakespeare, like NKOTB and the BSB on their tour. We know there was some fist flying.
Yeah.
Hotel rooms, you know that...
disagreements about
Danny
the role
and
of...
Rebecca.
Yeah. And we're back.
And their hair dryers.
Jeez.
Bard Brawl is edited by me, Daniel J. Rowe. And
give me my pager back.
Oh dear me. Act 1 through 4 can be found on bardbrawl.com, featuring the likes of such legendary Bard Brawlers as Zoe Baldwin and Second J Ovenden, who have left us sadly to go to LA. And everybody here that's making this Bard Brawl so try.
Yes.
Eric Jean, hey. Acts 1 through 4 of a comedy.
Yes.
Are very confusing, full of antics and plot twists and everything.
Disguises!
What do we need to know about Shakespearean comedy leading into... What is the point of these plays?
Weddings. Yeah, we're going to have some people shacking up.
So. Is there any... I know, like, Shakespeare... Whenever you say Shakespeare, people get really nervous. But this play, as those Bard Brawlers who have listened to the first four acts have noticed, is very funny... And very kooky and very crazy. Is there plays in the Shakespeare canon that you don't have to take with this sort of ivory tower academia style attitude? Can you just take this play and watch it and say it's funny, or is there deeper seated meaning?
This one actually is fairly. It's very clever in ways that, you know, you can study as much as you want, but it's actually fairly easy to get into. It's got characters that are funny in the ways we think they're funny. Belch is funny, and you know, Sir Toby Belch is funny in the ways we think movies like Hangover 3 are funny. And no, we don't think Hangover 3 is funny.
Amra doesn't.
There's a third Hangover?
Apparently. But this one's pretty. It's pretty
Nepal.
Straightforward.
Nepal.
Andre has been in Nepal.
But this is pretty straightforward. It's got, you know, awkward situations that are obviously, you know, stretching the realms of believable, but they're like, they have a sort of cartoon logic that we can get behind that doesn't require a whole bunch of explanation or understanding.
By the way, my brother Steven just went and saw this play.
Yes.
And he said there was twig and berries. I'm quoting his text directly, meaning male.
Twig and berries.
Well, whatever the... TNA.
Really?
Yeah, and side boob.
Ooh.
Mm.
Female side boob.
Oh.
Yeah, can I see my side boob?
Even better.
But I don't... Maybe I'll text him later and ask him where exactly a naked man appeared in this play, but he said Orsino was naked for some reason.
That's... I'd like to know why.
Yeah. Stephen Rowe, the call is out to you to tell us where the twig and berries, and if you want, the side boob, came into this play. And which character, and if you have a photo, leave it on bardbrawl.com. Or tweet it at the bardbrawl.
Or send it to Jay Reed.
Or send it to Jay Reed. He seems very excited about either the twig and berries or the side boob. Either one. So, we have one scene.
Yes.
For those of you who have been keeping track of the chapters, which I take way too much time to make sure that they're all in sequence, and I'm sure nobody cares. I don't need to do that. I need to do that. Yes. I need to do that for one scene. We're in a street before Olivia's house.
Indeed.
Amrit, did you have something to say?
No.
He's still thinking about NKOTB.
Yes.
And the twig and berries. Twig and berries. Or as we anyway, clown is Emma Sanger, Fabian is Stephanie, the Duke is Duke.
I was the Duke.
Antonio
I'm pretty
is
sure.
Was it, you were the Duke?
Yeah, because he's a sad sap. Like,
tight casting. Curio. Anyone remember who Curio was? Who is Curio?
Curio's he's a servant to Duke Orsino. I think he's just some guy.
I think Stephanie. Were you Curio?
I don't see any Curio actually speaking
no,
here.
Neither do I. I think.
Oh, okay, well, no worries
he's
then.
Just standing there.
Lords! We all know what to do with those. Antonio was also
moi.
Eric Jean. Olivia was Andre Simoneau. Attendance, priest, Sir Andrew, Amrit, if you could jump on Sir Andrew. Sir Toby is Jay Reed. And Malvolio is... Sebastian doesn't...
Stephanie. Sebastian has almost nothing to say because his sister is clearly smarter than he is.
What? So he just got married to Olivia and that's it?
Pretty much. I think towards the end they might come up. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right, I guess I'm not reading in this. I'll do the stage directions.
Well,
why don't
you
be
Sir Andrew?
Fabian
yeah.
or
Sir Andrew?
I'll do Sir Andrew.
Or do you want to jump up on... Do you want to take Antonio?
Well, Jerry got really excited when he looked into my eyes and he wanted me to be Sir Andrew so we could interact.
Sounds good.
Because we are both of the method school.
Mm, I see.
Yes. I will,
that's sweet.
It's the drunk school.
That's not...
Hey.
That's my school.
What are you suggesting? What are you suggesting? Act 5, Scene 1, A Street Before Olivia says, enter Clown and Fabian.
Now, as thou lovest me, let me see his letter.
Good Master Fabian, grant me another request.
Anything.
Do you not desire to see this letter?
This is to give a dog, and in recompense, desire my dog again.
Enter Duke, Viola, Curio, and Lords.
Belong you to the Lady Olivia, friends?
Aye, sir, we are some of her trappings.
I know thee well. How dost thou, my good fellow?
Truly, sir, the better for my foes and the worse for my friends.
Just the contrary, the better for thy friends.
No, sir, the worse.
How can that be?
Marry, sir, they praise me and make an ass of me. Now my foes tell me plainly I am an ass, so that by my foes, sir, I profit in the knowledge of myself, and by my friends I am abused, so that conclusions to be as kisses if your four negatives make your two affirmatives, why then the worse for my friends and the better for my foes?
Why, this is excellent!
By my troth, sir, no. Though it please you to be one of my friends.
That shall not be the worse for me, there's gold.
But that it would be double dealing, sir, I would you could make it another.
Or you give me ill counsel.
Put your grace in your pocket, sir, for this once, and let your flesh and blood obey it.
Well, I will be so much a sinner to be a double dealer, here's another.
Primo, secundo, tertio is a good play, and the old saying is the third play's for all. The triplex, sir, is a good tripping measure, or the bells of St. Benet, sir, may put you in mind 1, 2, 3.
You can fool no more money out of me at this throw. If you will let your lady know I am here to speak with her, and bring her along with you, it may awake my bounty further.
Marry, sir, lullaby to your bounty till I come again. I go, sir, but I would not have you to think that my desire of having is the sin of covetousness. But as you say, sir, let your bounty take a nap. I will awake it anon.
Exit. Enter Antonio and officers. Viola. Who's Viola?
I don't know.
Oh, that was Zoe. All I will read.
Oh, Danny. Your big moment.
Exit.
Here comes the man, sir, that did rescue me.
Enter Antonio and officers. That face of his I do remember well. Yet when I saw it last, it was besmeared as black as Vulcan in the smoke of war. A babbling vessel was he captain of, for shallow draft and bulk unprizable. With which such scathful grapple did he make with the most noble bottom of our fleet, that very envy in the tongue of loss cried fame and honor on him. What's the matter?
First Officer Andre?
Orsino, this is that Antonio that took the Phoenix and her fraught from Candy. And this is he that did the tiger board when your young nephew Titus lost his leg. Here in the streets, desperate of shame and state, in private brabble did we apprehend him.
He did me kindness, sir, drew on my side, but in conclusion put strange speech upon me. I know not what 'twas but distraction.
Notable pirate, a salt-water thief, what foolish boldness brought thee to their mercies, whom thou in terms so bloody and so dear hast made thine enemies. Orsino, noble sir, be pleased that I shall shake off these names that you give me. Antonio never yet was thief or pirate, though I confess, on base and ground enough, Orsino's enemy. Witchcraft drew me hither, that most ingrateful boy there by your side, from the rude seas enraged and foamy mouth did I redeem. A wreck past hope he was. His life I gave him, and did thereto add my love, without retention or restraint, all his in dedication. For his sake did I expose myself, pure for his love, in the danger of this adverse town. Drew to defend him when he was beset, where being apprehended, his false cunning, not meaning to partake with me in danger, taught him to face me out of his acquaintance, and grew a 20-year removed thing, while one would wink. Denied me mine own purse, which I had recommended to his use, not half an hour before.
How can this be?
As Duke...
When came he to this town?
As Antonio.
Today, my lord, and for 3 months before, no interim, not a minute's vacancy, both day and night did we keep company.
Enter Olivia and attendants.
As Duke.
Here comes the Countess. Now heavens walk on earth, but for thee, fellow, thy words are madness. 3 months this youth hath tended upon me, but more of that anon. Take him aside.
What would my lord, but that he may not have, wherein Olivia may seem serviceable? Cesario, you do not keep promise with me.
Madam!
Gracious Olivia!
What do you say, Cesario? Good my lord!
My lord would speak, my duty hushes me.
If it be aught to the old tune, my lord, it is as fat and fulsome to mine ear as howling after music.
Still so cruel?
Still so constant, lord.
What, to perverseness? You uncivil lady! To whose in great and inauspicious altars my soul the faithfulest offerings has breathed out that ever devotion tendered. What shall I do?
Even when it pleases my lord, that shall become him.
Why should I not? Had I the heart to do it, like to the Egyptian thief at point of death, kill what I love. A savage jealousy that sometimes savors nobly. But hear me this, since you to non-regardance cast my faith, that I partly know the instrument that screws me from my true place in your favor, live you the marble-breasted tyrant still. But this your minion, whom I know you love, and whom by heaven I swear I tender dearly, him will I tear out of that cruel eye where he sits crowned in his master's spite. Come, boy, with me. My thoughts are ripe in mischief. I'll sacrifice the lamb that I do love, despite a raven's heart. With a dove.
And I am most jocund, apt, and willingly to do you rest. 1,000 deaths would die.
Where goes Cesario?
After him I love, more than I love these eyes, more than my life, more than all Moors, than e'er I shall love wife. If I do feign you witness above, punish my life for tainting of my love.
Ay me, detested, how am I beguiled?
Who does beguile you? Who does you wrong?
Hast thou forgotten thyself? Is it so long? Call forth the Holy Father.
Come, away.
Whither, my lord? Cesario, husband, stay.
Husband?
My husband. Can he that deny?
Her husband, sirrah.
No, my lord, not I.
Alas, it is the baseness of thy fear that makes thee strangle thy propriety. Fear not, Cesario. Take thy fortunes up. Be that thou knowest thou art, and then thou art as great as that thou fearest.
Enter, priest.
Oh, welcome, father. Father, I charge thee, by thy reverence, hold to here to unfold, though lately we intended to keep in darkness what occasion now reveals before 'tis ripe. What thou dost know hath newly passed between this youth and me.
A contract of eternal bond of love, confirmed by mutual joinder of your hands, attested by the holy close of lips, strengthened by interchangement of your rings, and all the ceremony of this compact, sealed in my function, by my testimony, since when my watch hath told me toward my grave, I have traveled but 2 hours.
Oh, thou dissembling cub! What wilt thou be when time hath sowed a gristle on thy case? Will not else thy craft so quickly grow that thine own trip shall be thine overthrow? Sorry, little French moment there. Farewell and take her, but direct thy feet where thou and I henceforth may never meet.
My lord, I do protest!
Oh, do not swear! Hold little faith, though thou hast too much fear.
Enter Sir Andrew. For the love of God, a surgeon! Send one presently to Sir Toby.
You see the influence here?
The total method. Total method.
What's the matter?
Has broke my head across and has given Sir Toby a bloody coxcomb too. For the love of God, your help! I'd rather than 40 pound I were at home.
Who has done this, Sir Andrew?
The Count's gentleman, one Cesario, who took him for a coward. But he was the very devil incarnate.
My gentleman, Cesario?
Odds, lifelings, here he is. You broke my head for nothing. And that I did. I was set on to do it by Sir Toby.
Why do you speak to me? I never hurt you. I drew your sword upon me without cause, but I bespake you fair. And hurt you not.
As Sir Andrew?
If bloody coxcomb be hurt, you have heard me. I think you said nothing by a bloody coxcomb. Here comes Sir Toby halting.
Enter
you shall
Belgian
hear.
Clown.
Sorry,
enter Belgian clown.
Here you shall hear more. But if he had not been in drink, he would have tickled your other gates than he did.
How now, gentlemen? How is it with you?
That's all one. Has hurt me, and there this end on it. See, Dick Surgeon. Sought.
Oh, he's drunk, Sir Toby. An hour agone, his eyes were set at 8 in the morning.
Then he's a rogue, and a passy measures pavin. I hate a drunken rogue.
Away with him. Who hath made this havoc with them?
I'll help you, Sir Toby. Because we'll be dressed together. Will you help? An ass head and a coxcomb and a knave, a thin faced knave, a gull.
Get him to bed and let his herd be looked to.
Exit clown, Fabian, Sir Toby Belch, Sir Andrew, and enter Sebastian.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, madam. I have hurt your kinsman. But had it been the brother of my blood, I must have done no less with wit and safety. You throw a strange regard upon me, and by that I do perceive it hath offended you. Pardon me, sweet one. Even for the vows we made each other but so late ago. By the way, whatever app I downloaded, it didn't say that Sebastian was in this scene.
Who told you?
The app told me.
That's because the app got confused with Viola.
You know,
if you're the app guy, you need to fix it. So, app guy for a Shakespeare download free, complete works, fix your stuff, alright?
You messed up good.
You messed up. Now I'm mad. And I'm playing 4 characters.
Well, you were complaining about not reading very much.
That's true. Boy, has that come back to me. Continue.
One face, one voice, one habit, and 2 persons. A natural perspective, that is, and is not.
Antonio, oh dear Antonio, how have the hours racked and tortured me since I have lost thee?
Sebastian, are you?
Fearest thou that, Antonio?
Now have you made division of yourself? An apple cleft in two is not more twin than these 2 creatures. Which is Sebastian?
Most wonderful.
Do I stand there? Okay, by the way, Stephanie, you're now reading Viola.
Okay.
Shakespeare app guy is to blame. Do I stand there? I never had a brother, nor can there be that deity in my nature. Of here and everywhere I had a sister, whom the bind waves and surges have devoured. Oh, Charity, what kin are you to me? What countryman? What name? What parentage?
Of Messaline. Sebastian was my father. Such a Sebastian was my brother, too. So went he suited to his watery tomb. If spirits can assume both form and suit, you come to Phrytis.
A spirit I am indeed, but am in that dimension grossly clad, which from the womb I did participate. Were you a woman? As the rest goes even, I should my tears let fall upon your cheek and say, thrice welcome, drowned Viola!
Wait, that's me.
Yeah.
My father had a mole upon his brow.
And so had mine.
And died that day when Viola from her birth had numbered 13 years.
Oh, that record is lively in my soul. He finished indeed his mortal act that day that made my sister 13 years.
If nothing lets to make us happy both, but this my masculine usurped attire, do not embrace me till each circumstance of place, time, fortune do cohere and jump. That I am Viola, which to confirm I'll bring you to a captain in this town where lie my maiden weeds, by whose gentle help I was preserved to serve this noble count. All the occurrence of my fortune since hath been between this lady and this lord.
To Viola.
So comes a lady. You have been mistook, but nature to her bias drew in that you would have been contracted to a maid. You are therein, by my life, deceived. You are betrothed both to a maid and man.
You're not amazed. Right noble is his blood. If this be so, and yet the glass seems true, I shall have share in this most happy wreck.
To Viola.
Boy, thou hast said to me 1,000 times, thou never shouldst love a woman like to me.
And all those sayings will I overswear. And all those swearings keep as true in soul as doth that orbed continent the fire that severs day from night.
Give me thy hand, and let me see thee in thy woman's weeds.
The captain that did bring me first on shore hath my maid's garments. He upon some action is now in durance at Malvolio's suit, a gentleman and follower of my lady's.
You shall enlarge him. Fetch Malvolio hither, and yet, alas, now I remember me. They say, poor gentleman, he's much distract.
Enter clown with a letter and Fabian.
The most extracting frenzy of mine own from my remembrance clearly banished his. How does he, sirrah?
Truly, madam, he holds
devil.
Oh, the devil. He holds devil at the stave's end as well as a man in his case may do. Has here writ a letter. Oh, dear God. Has he writ a letter to you I should have given you today morning, but as a madman's epistles are no gospels, so it skills not much when they are delivered.
Jay Reed, what did you do to him?
I broke him.
Olivia.
Open it and read it.
Still broken 2 weeks afterwards.
Yeah.
Just to clarify that.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks.
Look then to be well edified when the fool delivers the madman.
Reads madly.
By the Lord, madam.
How now? Art thou mad?
No, madam, I do but read madness. And your ladyship will have it as it ought to be. You must allow vox.
Prithee, read in thy right wits.
So I do, Madonna, but to read his right wits is to read thus. Therefore perpend, my princess, and give ear.
To Fabian.
Read it you, sirrah.
Reads.
Oh, Fabian. By the Lord, madam, you wrong me, and the world shall know it. Though you have put me into darkness and given your drunken cousin rule over me, yet have I the benefit of my senses as well as your ladyship. I have your own letter that induced me to the semblance I put on, with the which I doubt not but to do myself much right or you much shame. Think of me as you please. I leave my duty a little unthought of, and speak out of my injury. The madly used Malvolio.
Did he write this?
Aye, madam.
This savors not much of distraction.
See him delivered, Fabian. Bring him hither.
Exit, Fabian.
My lord, so please you, these things further thought on, to think me as well a sister as a wife. One day shall crown the alliance on it, so please you. here at my house and at my proper cost.
Madam, I am most apt to embrace your offer.
De Viola.
Your master quits you, and for your service done him, so much against the metal of your sex, so far beneath your soft and tender breeding, and since you called me master for so long, here is my hand. You shall from this time be your master's mistress.
A sister, you are she.
Enter Fabian with Malvolio.
Is this the madman?
Aye, my lord, this same. How now, Malvolio?
Madam, you have done me wrong. Notorious wrong.
Have I, Malvolio? No.
Lady, you have. Pray you peruse that letter. You must not now deny it is your hand. Write from it if you can, in hand or phrase, or say 'tis not your seal, not your invention. You can say none of this. Well, grant it then, and tell me in the modesty of honor why you have given me such clear lights of favor, bade me come smiling and cross-gartered to you, to put on yellow stockings, and to frown upon Sir Toby and the lighter people, and acting this in an obedient hope. Why have you suffered me to be imprisoned, kept in a dark house, visited by the priest, and made the most notorious geckon gull that ever invention played on? Tell me why.
Alas, Malvolio, this is not my writing. Though I confess, much like the character, but out of question, 'tis Maria's hand. And now I do bethink me it was she first told me that thou wast mad. Then camest in smiling, and in such forms which here were presupposed upon thee in the letter. Prithee, be content. This practice hath most truly passed upon thee. But when we know the grounds and authors of it, thou shalt be both the plaintiff and the judge of thine own cause.
Good madam, hear me speak, and let no quarrel nor no brawl to come. Taint the condition of this present hour, brawl, which I have wondered at. And hope it shall not. Most freely I confess myself and Toby set this device against Malvolio here, upon some stubborn and uncourteous parts we had conceived against him. Maria writ the letter at Sir Toby's great importance, in recompense whereof he hath married her. How with a sportful malice it was followed, may rather pluck on laughter than revenge, if that the injuries be justly weighed that have on both sides passed.
Alas, poor fool, how have they baffled thee?
Why, some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrown upon them. I was one, sir, in this interlude, one Sir Topus, sir. But that's all one. By the Lord, fool, I am not mad. But do you remember, madam, why laugh you such a barren rascal? And you smile not, he's gagged, and thus the whirly gig of time brings in his revenges.
I'll be revenged on the whole pack of you.
Exit.
He hath been most notoriously abused.
Pursue him and entreat him to peace. He hath not told us of the captain yet. When that is known and golden time convents, a solemn combination shall be made of our dear souls. Meantime, sweet sister, we will not part from hence. Cesario, come, for you, for so shall you be while you are a man. But when another habits you are seen, Orsino's mistress and his fleecy queen.
Exit all but clown. Clown sings.
When that I was and a little tiny boy, with hey-ho, the wind and the rain, a foolish thing but a toy, for the raineth every day. But when I came to a man's estate, with hey-ho and company, gainst knaves and thieves, men shut their gate for rain and company, but I came, alas, to wive with hey-ho company. By swaggering could I never thrive for rain and company, but when I came unto my beds with hey-ho company, with tossed pots still and drunken heads for rain-ho company, a great while ago the world began, and hey-ho company, hey-ho company, but that's all one, our play is done, and we'll strive to please you every day.
3, 2, 1.
Step by step, ooh baby, gonna get to you, girl. Step by step, ooh baby, gonna take you in my world. Step one.
Okay,
one,
that's enough. One. That's
come
all
on.
We can afford. We can afford.
Starring William Shatner as Festus.
You got to exit the play with a song. Eric Jean, you mentioned last time that the clown is sad. Why do you mention that?
This Feste's got this kind of idea that, you know, into every life a little rain must fall. Daniel. He's not like a super happy-go-lucky... Like Sir Toby's kind of the biggest clown.
What song did you just quote there?
I'm not sure.
To every life a little rain.
That's it. The song's called Into Each Life Somewhere.
Oh.
The too much has fallen in mine.
A lot of music.
Very musical episode.
I'm excited about Barbal 12th Night, Act 5. Go ahead.
Feste is like the one character who kind of has a foot in both worlds. Like he's got a bit of the whole play is kind of a inversion, the natural order of things, where probably Malvolio gets to actually boss most people around because he's the chamberlain to Olivia. And now everyone kind of gets to sort of cut loose and have a good time. And there's like a rule of misrule. And Malvolio can't sort of go with the flow and hang out. Feste kind of straddles both. Like, he sort of recognizes that this is temporary. Everyone's having a good time now, but that everyone's wedding's probably going to suck.
So for all of us high school and or college graduates, who winds up getting the good stuff and who winds up getting the bad stuff in the end of this play? Sebastian, good.
I think Sebastian may be the one who lucks out... I'll have to say, technically it's supposed to be Viola. Viola and Orsino are supposed to be the best matched couple.
I think. Sebastian and Olivia
are like second place.
Toby, Sir Andrew.
He gets snared in a way by, like, they sort of make it seem like everyone's really happy about it. But
everyone's happy.
But there's almost always three weddings.
And yeah.
Three weddings almost are, they're not equal. Right? Like, A Midsummer Night's Dream has... Theseus and Hippolyta, and then the Demetrius and Lysander pairing ups. And it's like, they're not all equally happy.
You know what's the best play for that? It's Measure for Measure.
Oh, yeah.
Because the ending is so...
But it's a similar thing, where the sort of commoner character or the body character ends up getting snared into a wedding.
Yeah.
Kind of like Sir Toby. We don't even get to see it. It's just like, you marry her. And you're like...
Good for me.
Good for you.
Well, you're going to have a lot of fun with her.
For those of you who thought that we were just a bunch of drunken fools, you will realize that I played multiple characters in this act.
I just played one and then the priest.
Yeah, the priest. And completely sober.
Very sober priest.
Yeah.
Well, just a little. Maybe a little. He was a little Irish.
In Illyria.
Yeah,
we went over this.
It's Illyria, England. We all know this.
Illyria, England.
Like Illyria, Southampton or something. It's
well,
like...
To be fair, if you wanted to make it in Greece, you could just, like, hype up the... Like, that's the thing that's great about these plays is, yes, it's England, but you can always...
Well, you know which other play is technically in Greece? A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Right.
Now, read that and tell me it's in Greece, like...
Yeah, I think they just like to set it in there. But for the modern adaptations of these plays, they have done a good job of taking them and like twisting them into whatever locale they want to.
Yeah.
Anyway, we thank you for all of you brawlers, and we know there are tons of you. Apparently, Danny... Do we know Danny's last name? From the New Kids on the Block? It's not Knight.
Danny Knight.
Jonathan Knight. Jonathan and Jordan Knight, their brothers.
Danny McIntyre.
Danny McIntyre.
I thought it was Joey McIntyre.
Joey McIntyre.
Joey McIntyre.
No, so maybe it's Danny Knight.
No,
maybe they were the brothers.
No, he was nobody.
Jordan Knight.
He's gone nowhere. He's probably very sad right now. He's probably listening to this right now. So, Danny, we appreciate you.
He's the,
thanks,
the
Danny,
one member of NKOTB who knows the most about Shakespeare.
Yeah, anyway.
Thanks to us.
It's Danny Wood.
Danny Wood.
As provided by Andre Simmons.
Wow.
For those of you who don't know who NKOTB is, we thank you for listening to all five acts of the Bar Brawl's rendition of Twelfth Night. We will be back with you shortly to engage in another Shakespearean experience.
We are open to votes, suggestions, strong, powerful reactions, and
yes,
even terrorist threats about which play we should do next.
Eric Jean has got one of those, by the way. Hmm. Go to barbrawl.com and look on the criticism he laid on Henry VI Part 1.
Yeah, someone didn't appreciate the... let's say they didn't appreciate the approach I took to that review.
Not to mock anybody. If you don't appreciate it, please tell us.
Absolutely.
We welcome it.
I'm going to get a lot of hate mail for that clown.
No, I hope that person, if they're listening to us, actually does get back to us and tell us good versions of Henry VI Part 1 to watch.
Anyway, and for that person... In the future, we may just get into Henry VI Part 2, and you will get to come right back at us.
Do we have to?
And Eric Jean will have to do the review of that play, because there's only been one. Anyway, for all of you who have contributed to reviews of movies of Twelfth Night, we thank you. For all of the bar brawlers, Eric, Stephanie, Amra, Jay, Andre, Jay, second Jay, and Zoe Baldwin, we thank you. For all of our sonneteers, we thank you. To Jack Konorska, who did the original music, who is probably cringing right now at all of the renditions of certain songs we sang on this.
I'm sorry.
That was last. We did the Neverending Story last time.
I know,
time.
But I can't. It's still there.
Jack, Jack is probably... just sitting there cringing right now and crying. Poor Melissa will comfort him, though. Melissa.
Oh, Melissa.
And we thank you. We will be back to join you again
for more Tales from the Bar. Thank you.
See you next time.
Sonnet 27. Weary with toil, I haste to my bed. The dear repose for limbs with travel tired. But then begins a journey in my head to work my mind when body's work's expired. For then my thoughts, from afar where I abide, intend a zealous pilgrimage to thee, and keep my drooping eyelids open wide, looking on darkness which the blind do see. Save that my soul's imaginary sight presents thy shadow to my sightless view, which like a jewel hung in ghastly night makes black night beauteous and her old face new. Lo, thus, by day my limbs, by night my mind, for thee and for myself no quiet find. That's so pretty.